Good morning and welcome to First Presbyterian Church in Lufkin. It's so good to be here with you again. My name is Dr. Sharon Templeman, and I'm filling in for your new interim pastor, Steve Newton, who will begin next Sunday. What a glorious day. The sun is beginning to peek through the clouds, and it promises to be a glorious, glorious day. It's wonderful to see little ones with us today. We welcome you. We welcome all of you who are here, and we welcome those of you who are with us online and hearing us from afar. Have a blessed day and welcome. There are some announcements in the bulletin, and then I have one special announcement to offer for you. That is that next Sunday is World Communion Sunday. And so your session has voted to have sacrament on that Sunday, to join with others around the world to celebrate the sacrament. If you are at home, you may want to provide a plate by where you sit with a piece of bread and a glass of wine or grape juice. If you attend the service here, we will have prepackaged communion elements. Both a wafer and grape juice will be provided in individual containers, which you can pick up as you enter the sanctuary. These packets may not be what we are used to, but they will help with any concerns that we have about COVID-19 as we celebrate the sacrament. We also want you to notice in the bulletin those names that are listed who have special prayer requests. Join me in the call to worship. Whether we embrace God's call in our lives or try to avoid it, God is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. Whether we are long-timers or latecomers in the life of faith, God is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. Whether our lives in Christ are comfortable or bring hardship, God is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. We praise God's name and forever and ever. Amen. Join me in the prayer of adoration. We give thanks, God, our Father, for mercy that reaches out, for patience that waits for your return, for love that is always ready to welcome us and bring us home. You are faithful and you are kind. Today we join together with each other to declare your praise and to worship you and you alone. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Good morning, church family. So good to see more here this week. We rejoice that you were able to come and be with us and hope that the Lord speaks to you through the songs, the psalms, and the sermon. Would you please turn to page 487, When Morning Gilds the Skies. Please stand.
When morning gilds the skies,
seated. Because we do not always live our lives in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ, we confess before God and one another our sins and shortcomings. In repentance, let us turn toward God's grace and mercy with the prayer of confession. God of abundant goodness, we confess that we want your grace for ourselves, but often wish punishment or exclusion on others. We judge the efforts and motives of others while ignoring the faults of our own. Forgive us, we pray, when we let jealousy overtake us. Forgive us, we pray, when we are petty even in the presence of your generosity. Forgive us, we pray, when we feel slighted by you. Mercy. Help us to be more merciful toward one another. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ, by whose grace we are saved. Amen. God extends to us mercy beyond our deserving, grace beyond our ability to earn it. God has granted us the privilege of believing in Christ. Therefore, we will live as grateful and forgiven people. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. Our Psalter this morning is from Psalm 25, 1 through 9, and I read from the New International Version. It's a Psalm of David. In you, Lord, my God, I put my trust. I trust in you. Do not let me be put to shame, nor let my enemies triumph over me. No one who hopes in you will ever be put to shame, but shame will come on those who are treacherous without cause. Show me your ways, Lord. Teach me your path. Guide me in your truth and teach me, for you are God my Savior. Remember, Lord, your great mercy and love, for they are from old. Do not remember the sins of my youth and my rebellious ways. According to your love, remember me, for you, Lord, are good. Good and upright in the Lord. Therefore, he instructs sinners in his ways. He guides the humble in what is right and teaches them his way. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. As we read in Matthew 21, verse 1, whether we have much or only a little, we can share our daily bread so that others will be fed. As we have received, so now we can give in the vineyard of the Lord our tithes and offerings. Our offering plates are in the narthex. You can deposit your offering as you leave today, or you can go to our website or Facebook page and click on giving. of the harvest, we are privileged to be counted among those whom you have called, graced to have been given your work to do, and blessed to receive more than we will ever earn. Accept, we pray, our thanksgivings and offerings, and do what you choose with what already belongs to you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Our New Testament lesson this morning is from the Epistle of Philippians. And again, I read from the New International Version. We are in chapter 2, verses 1 through 13. Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit, and of one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Jesus himself, who, being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. The word of the Lord for the people of God. Amen. I'd like to speak to the children for a moment. We have several children with us this morning. Some little ones, even a little tiny one. And we have Lacey with us again. And to any of you children who are listening at home, this time is your time. Today I want to talk about two words that may be new to you. The first word is selfish. Maybe it's not all that new. Have you ever heard that word, selfish? I bet you have. Being selfish is when we spend too much time thinking about what we want or the things we'd like to do. Being a little bit selfish is probably normal. We all have wants. It's hard not to think about those things sometimes, but the problem is what's good for us isn't always good for others, for our friends, for our neighbors. Can you imagine what a sad world it would be if everyone was just looking out for themselves? If people stopped sharing? If people stopped helping others? I know that my life would not be very happy. In a few minutes, I will be talking about one of God's helpers, the Apostle Paul. Long ago, long, long ago, Paul traveled around telling people about the love of Jesus and how they can share God's love with others. One of the things he tells them really stood out as important to me. He told them that they should try to have a mind like Jesus' mind. That means not being selfish in the things we do or believing that we're more important than those other people. Instead, Paul tells us, he gives us another word. This is the other, the second word. Humble tells us that we should be humble. Humble is that word that is the opposite of selfish. In other words, being humble means that we are to treat others as though they are even more important than we are. That's what Jesus' life was all about, wasn't it? So this week, I want you to join me in being less selfish and more humble. See if you can find some ways to share more and to help more, and to really think of what's good for others. I think you'll find that it makes you feel better also. So let's say those two words aloud. Selfish? No. Humble? Yes. Amen. Let us pray. Dear God, help us to have minds like Jesus. Help us to be humble and to look out for the needs of our families, our friends, and even the needs of the strangers we meet. In your name, we pray these things. Amen. Please join me in the prayer for illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as scriptures are read and your word is proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. Let us pray. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. In our current times of so many crises, the COVID pandemic, the wildfires in western part of our country, protesters in our streets, hurricanes pounding our shores and our communities, not to mention the crises that are caused by all of these crises, crises within crises, such as homelessness that has increased so much, poverty, food insufficiency, loss of health insurance, and so much more. But many good things are also happening. Neighbors are helping neighbors. Food banks are stepping up availability, and so forth. But we also know that when people are suffering and vulnerable, some step up with less than benevolent intentions. Instead, they take others' vulnerability as opportunities to benefit themselves. Today, we call them scammers. But over the years, we have also known them as cheats, as ripoffs, as tricksters, as swindlers, con artists, and other not-so-nice monikers. We remember Bernie Madoff. He confessed to having the largest Ponzi scheme in world history and the largest financial fraud in the United States history. Today, we are being warned, as we approach the upcoming presidential election in 37 days, to be vigilant in the voting process. There may be scammers on both sides. On a personal level, in our high-tech environment that we find ourselves in today, there are nightmares as well. Our email accounts can be hacked. Recently, I've received calls from ne'er-do-wells on the phone saying they are from Social Security, and all I have to do is give them my Social Security number, and they will make everything right, and I won't be scammed. Right. And recently, a new scam came across my email. There was a link to press on. It said it was from the United States Postal Service, and if I just checked on that link, that I could check on my order and see where it was in progress. The problem was I didn't have an order out there. So, of course, I did not press on that link. Today I will speak of scammers or imposters in another area of our lives, in our Christian beliefs and desire to serve our Lord. I wish this sermon wasn't necessary, but you know it is. Of course, this kind of deceit began long before Bernie Madoff or even Social Security system was invented. This morning we reflect on Paul's words that we heard earlier in our scripture, written while he was in prison and facing execution for his beliefs, and on the new Christians in Philippi who faced different but equally disturbing crises. Paul is sitting in a Roman prison, awaiting the opportunity to stand before his emperor to defend the charges that have been levied against him. In this moment, he is thinking of them, of his friends in Philippi, and writing to them to assure that his imprisonment has actually served to spread the gospel, because it has even given him an opportunity to witness to the imperial guard. To me, I say, Paul was the first glass-half-full man. I'm in prison, but I have time to write. Philippi was a city in eastern Macedonia. The early Christians in Philippi lived in an environment where people were expected to say, Caesar is Lord. While this was intended to designate Caesar as ruler over the Roman realm, it also tended to take on spiritual connotations, that Caesar was Lord in some sort of spiritual sense as well. Believing that Jesus is the one and only Lord, early Christians often refused to say, Caesar is Lord, and they often died violently and at the hands of Romans as a result. In that time and place, to say Jesus is Lord required faith and courage. These words were interpreted as revolutionary. Nevertheless, Paul writes these words, Jesus Christ is Lord. But back to the story. One special friend, Epaphroditus, delivers Paul's letter to his friends in Philippi. This letter is affectionate, full of thanksgiving and gratitude for their friendship. It's an expression of deep friendship and is a call for unity throughout the city and a reminder that material gifts are not necessarily the most important. It is essential, he says, for Christians to embody God's love for others so that they can see and be touched by God's love. But as we know, Paul's letters are not all touchy-feely. He always offers advice for how we can do better. This is the glass half empty part of the story. In this case, Paul is warning against impersonating Christ. Paul knows that impersonating another is often a sham, and to try to impersonate Jesus is not loving. It is selfish, that word, and deceitful. He knows that Christ's perfection can never be duplicated. Earlier, in a chapter before in Philippians, before the one that we read that Paul reveals that envy, rivalry, selfish ambition plague the Philippian church. Then, in the second chapter of Paul's epistle to the Philippians, he warns the Philippians to do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interest, but each of you to the interest of others. Of course, we know that Paul is not just speaking to his friends in Philippi. He is speaking to his friends in Lufkin, in East Texas, our nation, and around the world. As we look around and listen to the 24/7 news, unfortunately, we see evidence of the kind of impersonations and deceit Paul warns us against. For example, and some do it very innocently for comic relief, and for music. For example, I love music of many genres. I love classical pop. I love gospel. Little bit of country. Several times I've had the opportunity to travel to Branson, Missouri, and to Nashville, where I can get my music fix. It is common to hear current singers and groups impersonate musicians who are no longer with us. Elvis, the Eagles, Andy Williams, Bach, and even Beethoven. They don't call themselves impersonators, though. They call themselves tribute artists. But in truth, they're impersonators. That doesn't make them bad people, though. They just aren't the real deal. But they openly admit it. But to impersonate another person in order to deceive others, on the other hand, is a very, very serious event, an offense. For example, to impersonate a police officer is a felony. Especially in these chaotic times of pandemics, racial unrest, climate change, and impending presidential election, it's important to identify the devious impersonators from the imitators of Christ. That isn't an easy assignment, and I'm certainly not here to declare who is and who is not the real deal. What I do know, though, is that it is crucial that we at these times are vigilant about checking our sources. For example, it's common today when a person or family encounters tragedy or some other type of suffering to set up GoFundMe accounts online to raise funds for the person who is suffering. And it's with good intentions. GoFundMe accounts have been set up recently for healthcare providers whose children cannot attend school. They have to be at home studying online, and so they have exorbitant expenses for care for their children. And yet, there are those who set up this type of fundraiser as impersonators to selfishly help themselves. Without naming names, and I'll try not to step on any toes here, we also see those standing before us who are preaching the gospel to build empires for themselves with huge churches, lavish homes, private planes, and all the luxuries available to man, and with little focus on helping those who are homeless or suffering from mental disabilities. A dear friend of mine used to call these the churches of what's happening now. We have to ask ourselves, are these individuals imitating Christ? I'm not disparaging wealth, but I am asking, do we bless others with the blessings that God gives us? As an anonymous wise person warns us, nothing else ruins the truth like stretching it. In our long going, now that's my new word. It's ongoing and going on for a long time, so I've invented this long going word to battle and curb and find cures for the COVID pandemic, to which we have lost over 200,000 precious lives. We hear of miraculous interventions from imposters that later proved to be false. Some even dismiss scientists' research that recommend frequent hand washing, wearing masks, and social distancing, with predictions that these simple practices just are not necessary. I'm glad to see your masks today. No question about it, we are living in stressful times. Who should we believe? Paul tells the Philippians to actively imitate, not impersonate, imitate Christ. He tells them to be humble and to love others as God loves them. I quote, "Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who does not consider equality with God something to be used to our advantage. We are to take on the nature of servants, humbled, obedient, without grumbling, and on bended knee." All that his friends in Philippi must do and say must honor and imitate Christ to fulfill his good purpose. To do this, Paul says they must be like-minded and have the same love, be of one accord, and to have unity of mind, doing nothing out of rivalry or conceit. Yes, that's a difficult assignment, but he, and more important, our Lord, knows that while we must strive for perfection, we will never achieve perfection. But here's the good news. Paul is not just speaking to the new Christians in Philippi about imitating Jesus. He is just as lovingly conveying to us to actively imitate Christ. That is what it truly means for us to be Christians. But we know imitation is a tricky thing and can be confused with pretending, play acting, or mimicking by imposters. The question for us is whether we will imitate Christ or someone else. Who do we admire enough to imitate? Actually, we grow up imitating other people. That's where we learn some of our skills. That's where we learn some of our ideas. Some people aspire to be rich, and so they imitate those that are rich. Some people imitate their favorite sports heroes or beautiful Hollywood stars. I remember, and this will tell you my age, when Mickey Mouse Club was popular on TV, I longed to be like Annette Funicello. Of course, this is not what Paul is talking about. Paul is telling us to use the God-given skills that he has given us, that we have used throughout life, to be the best persons we can be, so that others will see Christ in us through our love, humility, and action that we take to help others. We have all seen the bumper sticker, WWJD, many years ago, which stands for What Would Jesus Do? How do we answer that question for ourselves in our particular situations now? Do what Jesus would do, but what would Jesus do? Let's face it, Jesus did set the bar pretty high, but that does not mean that we cannot try. Who inspires you? I can think of a few people that I personally think have done a good job trying throughout their lives to imitate Christ, some of whom are very much in the public eye. Mother Teresa obviously comes to mind quickly for many of us, and our beloved Ruth Bader Ginsburg, whose death we are now mourning. And there are those we think we know personally in our own lives. Thank God for those humble servants that help us to learn to imitate Christ with humility, action, and servant hearts, so that loving our neighbor as ourselves doesn't mean having to reinvent the wheel. It means waking up every morning and choosing to live the gospel message, to spread good news, and to show a Christ-like face that people that we meet along the way in our journey, without losing our own uniqueness, will appreciate. Let's take that one step further. Paul is not speaking only to us as individuals. He uses the Greek term in the scripture for your that is plural. He is speaking to us as communities of believers. Just consider what the world would look like if everyone in First Presbyterian Church in Lufkin, Westminster Presbyterian Church in Nacogdoches, my own church, and other churches were to, with Christ's attitude, repeal the law of self-interest, to put others' interests first, serve the undeserving, treat other people as if they were equal or better than ourselves. This is the point Paul is making on this late September Sunday to us. As we read in Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 through 14, and I read from the Message, don't look for shortcuts to God. The market is flooded with surefire, easygoing formulas for a successful life that can be practiced in your spare time. Don't fall for that stuff, even though crowds of people do it. The way of life, the way to God, is vigorous and requires total attention. Amen. And now let us pray. God of loving kindness, patient, merciful, abounding in steadfast love, you claim us as your own and call us your children. Be our guide by day and night, God. Put within our hearts the hearts of our leaders, the desire to follow you for a just world. Knowing you are present in all places of suffering, we lift up our western states plagued by wildfires. Grant stamina to firefighters and first responders, safety to all who breathe smoke-filled air, comfort to those who mourn loved ones, hope to those who have lost their homes, and healing for your scorched earth. We lift up our southern states battered by hurricanes and flooding and pray for resilience and relief to all affected. God, we pray for the health of our planet, reeling from the devastating effects of a changing climate. Grant us wisdom and courage to take action to heal the land for the well-being of all who live today and our children and their children, and the creatures with whom we share our earthly home. God, we pray for all affected by the coronavirus. We pray for the over 200,000 families mourning the loss of a loved one. We pray for those who are sick, for essential workers, scientists, medical professionals, for all who suffer because of economic fallout and lost jobs, especially those who know hunger and homelessness. Be with our families and children in schools seeking to navigate this difficult change in process of education. Be with refugees and migrants who continue to seek safety and a future with hope in the midst of a pandemic. God, there is more than enough hate and cruelty in the world. Fan the flames of kindness in our souls. May our mouths withhold hurtful words and be generous in expressions of love and compassion. Grant us, as you did your faithful midwives so long ago, the conviction and trust to serve and follow and imitate you. We pray in the name of your Son, our Lord, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And now stand, if you are able, as we profess what we believe using the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Turn to 369, and we're going to sing, I'm Gonna Live So God Can Use Me.
Live your life as imitators in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ and stand firm in the Spirit. May the generous grace of Christ attend you, the astonishing love of God find you, and the surprising movement of the Holy Spirit guide you everywhere and always. Amen.